Malachi, the chapter 1 and the verse 6. That verse is where we will begin a short reading. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests, that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Here is a conversation. Indeed, a debate carried on between the Lord and those who were his servants in the day of Malachi, the Levites who served him in the temple. Now you will see that their attitude of heart and mind was very wrong. God was challenging his people through Malachi, challenging them on their relationship with him. Oh, they had a form of religion. They had an outward appearance of orthodoxy, but sadly their hearts weren't really in it. They were like those referred to in the book of Isaiah, and we have mentioned this before, who drew near to God with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. Oh, I wonder, is your heart far removed from your lips? Is it? Do you stand there and read out and join in the singing of holy phrases from the hymn book, and yet your heart is far from God? You add hypocrisy to the other sins that obviously grip your heart, because you offer words of praise to God. You speak highly of God, while all the time you don't really mean a word of it. Well, so it was with the priests in the day of Malachi. Don't ever think the Bible's not relevant. The Bible is a chest of medicine that deals with an unchanging disease. Man's spiritual needs never alter. Never alter. And that's why we must ever return to the old, faithful, and tried, and proved cures found in God's precious word. For man's modern ways of treating sin don't work. They don't work. It's clearly seen they don't work. In this passage, part of which we have read, God is challenging the attitude of heart amongst his priests. You hold me in contempt, he says. Isn't that a most awful thing to be said? To think that we could in any way hold a contemptuous view of God? Yet sadly I feel it's true. It's true even in the best of congregations. It's true in the best of hearts that contempt for God may very easily enter. So let none of us dismiss this subject and this study by saying, well, it has nothing whatsoever to do with me. Oh, beware, my friend. Beware. Do we not find a little contempt in even how you dismiss the idea that there could be any merit in us, in you, studying this word?
Do you not show a little contempt for God's word by dismissing it and saying, oh, it could have no relevance in my life? My dear friend, we know not our hearts. That's the truth of the matter. And whatever view we may have of ourselves, you can be pretty sure, in fact, you can be absolutely assured that you haven't got the truth about yourself at all. And we need, therefore, to submit ourselves to God's word and let its light shine upon us, that we might see ourselves in its light. Now, we have observed in this challenge presented by God to these Levites in the verse 6, a son honoureth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honour? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you? We see in those words the fact that God rightly expects his people to honour him. Part of a true worshipping of God and a proper attitude toward God is to have an honouring of him. We must ever honour God. Hold a high view of God and speak with reverence of all things related to God. That's what we're talking about. God expects his people to honor him. We looked at this matter last Lord's Day. Well, we started to look at it. And we discovered that's what God wants of us. God wants you. You boys and girls, you fathers and mothers, he wants you to honor him, to hold him in high regard. We considered that it was but natural for God's creatures to honor him. We looked at that and explored that matter. It's but natural that we who owe our very existence to God should honor God. Now, if you do honour God as your creator, you will be well out of step with popular thinking. Because popular thinking doesn't declare God as the originator of all things. In fact, popular thinking dismisses God altogether as someone who doesn't even exist. And the origin of all things they put down to some sort of a fluke. Not a very technical term, but let me tell you, a more technical explanation of the so-called science that has replaced creationism in the thinking of man than such science is due. Because that's all it boils down to. Men say that it was some sort of a fluke, some sort of a mystical event in which certain circumstances arose whereby, woof, there it all was. That's complete balderdash. Complete balderdash. And it's almost incredible to think that rational creatures can embrace such. No, we recognize that God is our creator. And it is appropriate, therefore, that we honor God as our creator. As creatures, we ought to honor God. But when it comes to those who profess his religion, then it is right that we honor him as our Father, not just as Creator. That is something that all of those on the face of the earth owe to God by way of honor. For all men are his creatures. But there are only some who have a relationship with God whereby they can truly speak of him as their heavenly Father. But those who do say
that God is their Father, and how many hundreds of thousands, millions today stood up in churches where it is their wont to repeat the Lord's Prayer. How many have stood up and said, Our Father, which art in heaven. How many have said that? And yet, sadly, they are but repeating a lie and making a false claim. One of the reasons why, from the moment I was converted, even though I had been brought up in a denomination that made a weekly habit of praying the Lord's Prayer, indeed on many other occasions that is the prayer that they prayed, but from the moment of my conversion I was instantly unhappy with the situation, for I was aware of the fact that all around me there were people who were claiming God as their Father, and I knew well, and they knew well, that He was no such thing. And I didn't like to be part of this act of hypocrisy. And I don't like the repeating of the Lord's Prayer. When ye pray, I believe that was an individual direction. If anything, this is a prayer to be observed privately. Though personally, I believe the Lord was giving a pattern for praying, not a particular form that ought to be repeated ad infinitum. I believe He was giving us a pattern of prayer. A form of prayer that would show to us all the matters that we should embrace when we're praying. Oh, there are many who claim God as their Father, and He is not. But those who do rightfully claim God to be their Father, then it behoves them to show to Him the honor that is due in such a relationship. God says here, a son honoreth his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? Where is mine honor? You see, the Jews claim God as their Father. Isaiah chapter 63, the verse 16 reads, Doubtless thou art our Father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O God, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. That was the national testimony of the Jewish people. They claim God as their Father. And God is saying to these Levites here, these leaders of Israel in the day of Malachi, if then ye claim me to be your father, where is mine honor? Where is mine honor? Tell me, Christian, were God to ask you to show where is His honor in your life? Could you produce the fruits of it? Could you produce the evidence of it? Could you show wherein you honor God? Wherein you honor God in your home, in your life, in your heart, in your day-to-day activities. Could you show wherein you honor God? Or even as you search out the matter, would you discover wherein you don't honor Him? Rather, wherein you dishonor Him. Isaiah chapter 64 and the verse 8 reads, But now, O God, or O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou art potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand. This was the professed relationship between Israel and God. He was their Father, they were His children. And in like fashion, so it is we claim today as Christians. God is our Father. Where then is the honor that ought to be evident in our lives? Note the word if there in God's question, the verse 6. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? If. You see, where there is no honoring of God,
then you bring your relationship with God into question. You cast a doubt upon it. If there is an absence, a clear and plain absence of honoring God, honoring His Word, honoring His commands, honoring His day, honoring His name, honoring everything about Him. If there is a clear absence of this, then you bring a question mark over your profession of faith. If I be a father, where is mine honor? If we change that question a little and say, where is God's honor? And if it is absence, then is He really your father? Is He really your father? For where there is an absence of honoring Him, there must be an absence of knowing Him. The chief means of honoring God is to imitate Him. That's what children surely, almost instinctively, I say almost, surely I can go so far as to say, without the almost, that it's a natural instinct for children to imitate father, particularly sons, to imitate father. Indeed, they're born, oftentimes, with that within their very character, for they have aspects of their father in them. So even if they never saw their father and grew up without ever knowing him, they still would show indications and characteristics that were evident in their father. Even if their father wasn't around for them to imitate, they still would show trends in their way of living and working and acting and moving and speaking that would show reflections of their father's character. That's a natural thing. Well, if you're born of God, you'll show signs of that fact. You'll show an inclination to imitate Him. The grand command of the Bible to every child of God is, be ye holy, as God is holy. Be ye holy, as God is holy. There is this command upon us to imitate God, to be like God. That's what godliness means. I've often said this in our school assembly. That's what godly means. It's just an abbreviated form of God-likeness. Godliness. God-likeness. So to be godly is to be like God. It's to show in your life a likeness to God. That's how you honor God. Even as a child honors their parents, by imitating them, by that admiring and loving of their parents that causes them to desire to be like their parents. And that's over and above the instinctive copying of the parent that is born of the fact that they have within them aspects of their parents' being and personality. That link is shown. That love is shown in the life of the child for the parents by an imitating and a copying. Peter is working on this assumption in 1 Peter and the chapter 1. Look at it, please, you young ones in particular. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 15. For as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And as we have said before, the word conversation doesn't mean just those verbal exchanges that we engage in, but it means our whole lifestyle. Be ye holy in all the manner of your lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If we belong to the Lord, then we will be holy. This is what God's Word is saying. The Lord Jesus, in that very famous, and this is only a few pages over from Malachi, that famous sermon, Matthew chapter 5. That sermon preached upon the mount. Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 45. Well, the verse 44 perhaps is where we should begin, because that gives us the context. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward of ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So there the Savior is expanding upon this very thought that I am seeking to leave with you. That where there is a relationship between us and God, there will be an inclination to copy Him, to imitate Him, to be like Him. We are commanded to develop that instinct, to follow that instinct, to work on that instinct, to build on that instinct. Be like God. That is what we are commanded to engage in. And thereby we honor God. We honor God by so doing. Even as the little one, silently, and without even a realization on its part, it honors father and honors mother by imitating them. You know, before we were saved, we honored our father. Yes, we did. Look at John. John's Gospel. John's Gospel. And we're looking at the chapter 8 of John's Gospel. Verse 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. You see, before we were saved, we did copy our Father, imitate our Father. Only it wasn't our Heavenly Father. For God wasn't our Heavenly Father. The devil was our Father. We had a nature akin to Him. And it was His evil works that we did. And we showed the link between ourselves and the devil. The parentage that we had with the devil. The link of parentage with the devil. By showing his works. By doing that which was part of his nature. The lusts of your father. Ye will do. And every time a lie is told, We honor the Father of lies. Listen, Christian, do you remember that? Because Christians tell lies. Christians tell lies. In fact, Christians tell lies instinctively, for they have an old nature that will throw them up a lie in an instant. A child that has difficulty speaking. It hasn't yet learned to formulate words, but it'll tell a lie in an instant. Doesn't have difficulty working up a lie. When it's challenged or spoken to or demanded from it an answer of something it's done, lie. Right away. And it's only manifesting its common nature with the devil. Its lawless, wicked, sinful nature. Ye are of your father the devil. The lusts of your father ye will do. Now we honored the devil. A man honored the devil by doing that which was of him. By showing that likeness. Well, I ask you then, is it not sensible? Is it not obvious that if we are now born again of the Spirit of God, if we have become children of our Heavenly Father, that we should now honor our Heavenly Father by manifesting that we have a nature that is of God, a new nature, fashioned and formed by His hand, that bears all the likenesses and similarities as coming forth from Him. For we are born of God. We're born of God. God is to be honored as our Father. And we are to seek to imitate Him and show in our lives that likeness. That, after all, was the intent of God's great purpose in Christ. Romans chapter 8, the verse 29. Verse 28 reads, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. We are to bear the likeness of God's Son, so that He might be the firstborn of many brethren. That He might have many brethren that bear the likeness of Him. Because we are born of God. This is God's purpose. This is God's glorious purpose. And this is what is being wrought out in us. This is God's will for us. Even our sanctification. This is what today God wills to take place amongst us. This is what this meeting is convened in order to accomplish. A promoting, an advancing of our likeness unto Christ. That's what sanctification is. The old catechism tells us. Sanctification is a dying more and more unto self. Ah, we hate that. We want that. We want to hold on to self. I want to be myself, is the cry of rebellious mankind. God wants you to be like His Son. Not like yourself. Not like yourself. And sanctification
is a dying more and more unto ourselves, and a living more and more unto God. A merging, if I might put it like that, more and more unto God. A taking on of His likeness. Look at what we read in 2 Corinthians and the chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, the chapter 4. Chapter 3, you'll see chapter 4, the heading, chapter 4, just above this verse, or it's the last verse of chapter 3. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What does that mean? Well, before you left the house today, the chances are you had a look at yourself in a glass. That which used to be called the old looking glass. That's a good term for it. That's what it is. It's a glass in which you look at yourself. And we looked at ourselves and saw what we were like. Now God takes that, and He says that's what the Bible is. It's a looking glass. James chapter 1. The verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. You see, what I'm doing here today is seeking to hold up a mirror before you. The mirror of God's word, to show you your likeness. Show you what you're like. And as the word of God is preached, you are shown a reflection of yourself. But as the word of God is preached, you are not only shown a likeness of yourself, but you're shown a likeness of God, and you are to adjust your appearance so that you become more like Him. That's the process that Paul is speaking of in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We see ourselves, but there is also reflected in the Word of God the glory of the Lord. And as we see the glory of the Lord reflected in the Word of God, we are changed. We're changed. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of God moves within us and prompts us and pushes us and molds us to look more like the Lord Jesus. Listen to me. It's not so hard to understand this. Young folk, not so young, the magazines come out, all the latest in clothing. Oh, I like that. And next Sunday, you look like that. If you persuaded Mommy to get it for you. If Mommy hasn't got it herself first.
Isn't that what happens? Isn't that what happens out there in the world? They see the fashions, they see the television, they see the cinema, they see the pictures, they see the so-called stars, and they try to take on their likeness. That's the spirit of sin at work. Well, the Spirit of God, He's working something that's similar, yet entirely different, in that He wants to change you into a likeness of Christ. Do you want to go to heaven? Oh, I can't imagine anybody shooting their hand up and saying, no, 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 I don't want to go to heaven. You all want to go to heaven. Do you know the price of getting into heaven? You can only get into heaven if you look like the Lord Jesus. That's the only way you'll get into heaven. In heaven we will all be like Him. That's what we read in the first epistle of John. Maybe you'd like to have a look at yourself, what you'll be like in heaven. Do you ever think about that? Well, have a look at yourself as you will be like in heaven. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, that is, when He comes again, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him, this hope of being with Him in heaven, every man that hath this hope, what does he do? He purifieth himself even as he is pure. Everyone who wants to be in heaven and be like the Lord Jesus every day is endeavoring to be more and more and more like Him. That's the process of sanctification. How do I honor God? By seeking to be like Him. And if that is not the objective of our living, men and women, then don't talk about honoring God. Don't talk about honoring God. We should seek to have in our home an atmosphere like God's home. We should seek to observe the Lord's Day as God observes that day. We should seek to observe and keep God's law as Jesus, who came to do His Father's will, kept His Father's law. That's what it means to honor God. And that's what God's looking of us in these days. Oh, may He work grace in our lives to that end. We leave our study there. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Father, how far short we fall. How far short we fall. But, oh God, I ask Thee in mercy to give such grace to us as to turn our back more and more on the world and live more and more unto the Lord. Come in answer to prayer. Bless us now, for Jesus' sake. Amen.